Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome, 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 welcome to the summit with Minister Adam Tuggle. Yes, I know that you are listening to me, and if you are listening to me right now, you are blessed. Not because you're listening to me, not because you hear my nice voice, but because if you're listening to me right now, you are in the land of the living on today. And that is a reason why you are blessed, and that is a reason to give God praise in Jesus' name. I know some of you are probably like, wait a minute, he comes on at a certain time. Well, he's on at a different time today. Well, things change, y'all. Sometimes I had a good conversation with our overseer of the Spirit Alive Network, and now I'm here. And if you're listening to me in the morning, or if you're on the West Coast, you're listening to me. What is it about?
9 a.m.
Amen. Amen. There you go. And if you're listening to me on the East Coast, you're listening to me about 12 in the afternoon. So praise God to everybody that's listening in Jesus' name. I love you guys, and I praise God that you are here listening to me live on the summit with Adam Tuggle. Today, we have a very, very powerful topic, as usual. The Lord has blessed us to be able to study this topic today. And I was telling Bishop Cook before we went on the air on today, sometimes, and I'm laughing about this, but this is a very, very true thing. Sometimes you pray and ask God, those that are in the ministry of being a pastor, or which I'm not, amen, thanks Jesus, or you're a minister or elder or deacon, and if you've ever ministered from the pulpit or whatever, you would know what I'm talking about. Sometimes when we study the Word of God and the Lord, we ask the Lord to give us something to talk about. Lord, what do you want us to talk about? And sometimes the Lord does not answer right when we need him to answer. And I thank God that the Lord answered me on what to talk about today. And he gave it to me 3 hours before the show started. So he answered me 3 hours before the show started. So I thank God for him answering my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. But today we are talking about unconditional, y'all ready for this? Unconditional love today. We're talking about unconditional love today. And today we're going to look at what is unconditional love, where did love come from, or where does love come from, and at the end of it, we're going to see how it centers around where it came from. Amen. This topic is talking about unconditional love, and unconditional love is known as an affection without any limitations or love without conditions. This is the definition of unconditional love. That is, and I'll read it to you again. The definition of unconditional love is known as an affection without any limitations or love without conditions. Now, if you just take that definition and just look at that definition, it would seem like we would know where love comes from or where unconditional love comes from. But some people in today's society and in today's world have this word or these two words, unconditional love, confused. Some people think that it is a
a physical thing. People think it's a verbal thing. Some people think it's just an attraction type thing. But love is unconditional. You cannot have love without unconditionally loving somebody. Amen? You must love in spite of. We must love in spite of. And I say it all the time on my podcast and on this show that when you love somebody, when you love a person, when you love your brother or your sister in Christ or your mother or your father or your sister or your brother or your children, you still must show unconditional love. And an example of that is shown by a parent loving his child. Love the children despite what they do. Amen? Whether they are bad, whether they're good, whether they're okay, whether they're the greatest child at the time. I'm not going to say perfect, because there is no perfect child or adult or whatever. But if they're being so good that you just want to reward them so well because they're doing so great in school and you haven't had to talk to them, you love them then. It's very easy to love them then, but the way that our love, that the unconditional love is tested, love is not tested when people are being so good to you or you're being so good to a person and that person's being so good to you and nothing is happening. That's not when love is tested. Love is tested when you can love that individual when they've done something to you. That is when love, that is when a person's true unconditional love is tested. The examples, we have so many examples in the Bible where unconditional love was tested, and the main example is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ showed unconditional love even when he went to the cross. And he set the example for us to show unconditional love. So when you say, I have a relationship with God, you must then have unconditional love. I'm going to show you why. I'm going to read this question. It says, where does love come from? Where does it come from? A lot of people get this confused. My former pastor preached a sermon a long, long time ago, and in that sermon she said, are looking for love and life in all the wrong places. And, you know, when we look at the word love, L-O-V-E, it is used loosely. Love is used loosely. A person can say that they love you once and then stab you in the back of the neck, and that's not love. But I'm going to give you, I'm going to answer this question, where does love come from? If we look in the Word of God, we can pinpoint where love comes from. We can pinpoint and where love started at. We can pinpoint where love began and where love came from. And we're going to look at, to pinpoint where love and came from, we're going to look at two scriptures. And the first scripture we're going to look at is 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. That's 1 John chapter 4, verse number 8. Now, this is showing where love comes from. This is showing where love comes from. And it reads, he that loveth not, loveth, wait a minute, he that loveth not knoweth not God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now, that just showed us where love comes from. Now, where did it start? As I read before,
we just read where love came from in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, and I'll read it one more time. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Amen. Now, we're going to look at where love began. Go to Genesis, the book of Genesis. You might say, well, love didn't begin at the book of Genesis. Yes, it did. Sure did. Genesis 1, Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And I'm going to read it. I'll read it to you. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You might say, well, how does that show where love started at? You might say that doesn't say that in there, that where love started at. Well, if you look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, which we just read, it said in there, God is love. And if we look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God, which means God was in the beginning. If God is love, love was in the beginning. Before the heavens and the earth was made, there was love. He made the heavens and the earth out of what? He made it out of his love. He made sure that all of the things that were created on the earth were made out of love. That's why my former pastor used to say, we used to have dinner at our church, at my former church. We had dinner every Sunday. And this is just an example. She used to say, if you going to cook and you angry, please don't cook. Please don't cook because it's going to taste nasty. But if you cook and you loving people and you nice and everything, please cook. Please. But don't cook while you mad. And you might say this meal was created out of love. Don't you know your love? Don't you know if you have love for something? Don't you know if you're on your job and you're showing love to people? Don't you know you're working, you know, you're doing your job, and don't you know your job will come out better when you do it in love? That's why everything that was created in love from God. God is love. Love created this world. Love created this world. So if we show love, if we can't do nothing without love, unconditional love. Now, there are four types of love, all centered around unconditional love. There are four types of love. And these are all four of these types of love are Bible-based love. And I'm gonna give them to you. I'm gonna give you the scripture to back it up, because we don't bring out anything unless we have scripture to back it up. Amen. But we have four types of love that is centered around unconditional love by showing. Centered around showing unconditional love. And those four types of love, I'm going to say all four of them. And there's more, but these are the four that the Lord gave to me on today. There are, number one, the first love is Eros love. This is a love between man and woman or husband and wife. That is a romantic love. That is a love that everybody should not share all the time. Amen? What I mean by that is, if you're single, you should not be sharing that type of love with anybody. Amen? All right?
But you have to wait for your for the Lord to send you a companion to share that type of love. Amen. There is agape love. This is a love that is a godly type of love. This is a love between a spiritual brother, spiritual sister, a pastor, loving the saints. This is a godly love, and this is the love that we are supposed to show all mankind. Then we have storge love. This type of love is a family type of love. This is a love between a mother and a father. This is a love between a mother and a daughter, or a father and a son, or vice versa. This is a family type of love, and we have scriptures to back those up too. And the last one is philia love. And this type of love is a friendship type of love. Now, all four of these types of love all center around unconditional love. Amen? And we're going to dive deep into this, why these all four of these types of love can center around unconditional love. First, we're going to go to Eros love, which we said before is a love between a man and a woman, or we should say a husband and wife. We look in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 13, verse number 4. If we look in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 13, verse 4, it'll show us what type of love we should show between a husband and his wife, or a wife and her husband. And I'm about to, you might say, well, you got this all done in 3 hours? Yes. the Lord is a way maker. Amen. Amen. But Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4 reads, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed is undefiled. Amen. Marriage is honorable. I just wanted to read that part right there. Marriage is honorable, and the bed is undefiled. Amen. This is something that God put together. This is a type of love that God put a man and a woman. And when he created Adam, he created Eve so Adam wouldn't be alone. He loved him enough to give him a helpmeet. Amen. That helpmeet goes to love, out of unconditional love, help that spouse. And it ain't just a woman. Let me just say this to all of you husbands out there. I can say this now because I'm a husband. To all of you husbands out there, whether you're in the church or out of the church or whatever, or where all of you men that say, well, my wife is behind me. My wife is behind me, and I'm the head of the house. And No. Your wife is supposed to be on the side of you. She ain't come from your backside. When Eve was created, he took a portion out of Adam's rib. He didn't take a portion out of his backside. So I've heard this being said before. Amen. And I'm gonna hit it, and I'm gonna hit the nail on the head today. Men that are husbands, please stop saying that. Please. If you saying that, whether you're in the church or out of the church, that your wife is behind you, please stop saying that. On today. You are supposed to love and honor and cherish your wife. But doesn't that go for the same for the woman too? Yes, it does. If she loves you, but you have to, look, I heard somebody say you have to show your woman or your wife, because that sounds so dominating, the way I said that. I'm sorry, y'all. you have to show your wife that you love her. And it ain't just by words. It's by action. You have to show your wife, and your wife, you know, Abraham loved his wife so much that Sarah called him Lord. Now, she wasn't a saying like calling him Lord like God or, you know, Jesus Christ or anything like that. But she called him little Lord. You know why she did that? Because she honored her husband. Because he loved her so much. She wanted to show honor to him. And if you love your wife enough, your wife will show honor to you. And not only does your wife need to show honor to you, but you need to show honor to her. Honor her. And in honoring her and in loving her, help her with help. Look, if she got a ministry, don't you sit over there and say, look, my ministry come first, your ministry come second because you the wife and da-da-da. No, you help her with her ministry. Each other. It ain't just all about you. Just because the God made you the head. I'm sorry, y'all. I didn't mean to go there. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. Sorry. Yes, I did. Let me go to the next scripture, y'all, because I think I'm stepping on somebody's toes now. I'm sorry, y'all. Ephesians chapter number 5. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter number 5. And this will show us the unconditional love right here of between a man and a woman. And this goes, even though this verse says what it says, this also goes for both. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Amen. If my wife is in danger, this is an example. If my wife is in danger, it is my job to protect my wife. Amen. And my children. When I say wife, I mean my whole family. I mean my wife and my children. It is my job to protect my family. In protecting your family and in protecting them, it's not just saying you're going to, if somebody's doing something to them, you're going to rush out there and, you know, beat up on the person. That's not just what it's saying. But you're going to do all to protect your family, whether it be providing for them, whether it be consoling them, whether it be giving them an encouraging word. That's unconditional love. And look, this is when a marriage is tested. The key word in me personally, and this is my own personal opinion, the key word in my marriage is I'm sorry. And you might say, well, why is the key word in your marriage I'm sorry? Because, and in my marriage, the key word for both of us is I'm sorry. The reason why we keep I'm sorry in there, because I might have done something that I didn't even know that I've done to my wife. I might have made her mad on something. I might not have, she might have asked me to do something and I forgot to do it, and she waiting for me to do it and I don't do it. And she's like, Adam, I just told you. And she's mad because I didn't do it. And I forgot, like literally forgot. And my first thing is, babe, I'm sorry. I forgot. I'm sorry. I'll get it done. And I go ahead and do that thing. And then there might be times where she forgets. I ask her, you know, babe, did you do this or do that? And she'd be like, no, I forgot. This is an example, y'all. But this is when true love, unconditional love, is tested. Can you forgive the individual? This is when you know you've forgiven the individual, when you're not holding it over their head. When you have forgiven them, you will not hold it over their head. Amen. The Bible says love covers a multitude of sin, which means it covers the wrongs that we do. We're covered. Amen? Even Jesus loves us enough choice whether to serve him or not. That's unconditional love. If we choose to want to live for him and go to heaven, that's what he loves us enough to make a way for us to do that. If we choose to even want to go to hell, which I hope nobody wants to do that, but if that's your choice, amen. I don't, but if that's your choice, amen. He loves you enough to let you do that. That's why he said, choose ye this day whom you will serve. He did it out of love. This was not in my notes, y'all. I'm sorry. But this is the same love that we must show every day to our wives, to our husbands, to our children. And we're getting ahead of ourselves, but I'm going to say it like this. We must show, and this is leading up into the next type of love, agape love. In agape love is a godly love, and godly love go hand in hand with eros love and storge love and phile love. And the reason why I can say that now, in eros love, you might say, well, how does agape love go into eros love? Well, because we just read it. Husbands, love thy wife as Christ loved the church, that he would give himself for it. Christ gave his life for the church. He gave his life for us. He made sure that we had right to the tree of life. He made sure. Now the part in eros love where the man, the husband and wife show love physically, that is done on a much naturally level, and that is to, you know, commit the marriage to bring two as one. That helps bring the two together as one, and, you know, the producing of children and all that. Now, that part the Lord has given us right to, but we must be married. We must be married. And you might say, well, and this does not, and I'm going to go here. This does not mean, because society will tell you, okay, well, if I'm supposed to be married and I love this individual, I'm supposed to marry them. And that, no, this does not mean two things. If God did not put y'all together, y'all are not supposed to be, And if it does not mean man with man and woman with woman. Man does not lay with man as like of womankind. So I'm not talking about that's lust. That ain't love. So let's get that. I'm going to get that straight right now. I am not talking about man with man and woman with woman. And we are not talking about unequally yoked individuals. So just in case anybody wants to know, I did not just hit just the same-sex marriages, but I am hitting that. The Bible didn't say that. And I'm also hitting if you unequally yoked, supposed to be together. If one is over here and one is over there, no. We hitting both. I'm just not just going to hit one and I hit the other one. I'm going to hit both. If you unequally yoked, and y'all know y'all not supposed to be together, then, hey, don't do it, please. If you have the same sex, y'all have the same sex, y'all are not supposed to be together. Y'all are not supposed to be laying together, and that's lust. And the other one could be lust, too. So let's get that straight. If you unequally yoked but still want to be with that individual, I don't know why I'm going here.
and you still want to be with that individual, and y'all can't agree on nothing, and all y'all have to get, all y'all have in common is the physical part, then that's lust. All y'all have is the laying down part behind closed doors, lust. Amen. That's lust, and that ain't lust. Now, if a person is in godly love, and we're going to go there, and I haven't got to the scripture yet, but in 1 John chapter 4, we're going back to chapter 4, y'all, verse number 7, it reads, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." So if we love one another, this is a godly love. If we love one another in spite of the issues that we are faced with amongst one another, then we show agape love, which is a godly love. We're showing godly love. And this is, that's why I said Eros love, storge love, and philia love go along with agape love. Go into agape love, because you have to have agape love. You have to have godly love to be able to have Eros love. You have to have agape love to have storge love, to have agape love, to have philia love. Amen? You have to have these types of love. You have to have this type of love to have all four of the types of love. And it all is centered around unconditional love. Amen? This type of love is centered around unconditional love. Despite the issues, despite what you do, despite what you do to me, I'm going to love you. That's just simply saying, despite what a person does to me, I'm going to love you. Despite if my wife takes the last of my soda, I'm going to love her. Despite if I take my wife's last piece of cake, she's going to love me. You might say, well, you talking about food. Now, there are marriages that are like that. They get petted. Hey, look, let me just tell y'all now. Even in the church, there are marriages and relationships. They will get, that some of them will have knockdown drag outs over petty stuff like that. I done seen it and I done heard it. Well, he took my stuff. He took my stuff. She took my stuff. So I'll be, no, that's petty. Stop. Amen. Now we're getting ready to go into storge love, which is a family type of love. And this one right here, I love this type of love because this goes into what storge type of love is. This is a family love. This is a family type of love, and this is showing unconditional love. And this is to show this type of love to my children all the time, and I have to be I have to show unconditional love to my children, even when they act up. Even sometimes when you feel like they done got on your last nerve. Amen. Your nerve just got struck. Amen. You on your last half a nerve with that child or something, but you still have to show unconditional love to them. Let's go to Proverbs. Well, let's go to Exodus. Exodus chapter number 20, verse number 12. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. And it'll show us what storge love is. And like I said, all of these types of love all center around unconditional type of love. And we've already seen where love came from and where love began. So let's let's talk about this family type of love. Amen. Let's go into this family type of love, because I love doing this. This is what I love to do. Amen. This is the first form of a family type of love, and this is for the children. And it don't matter if you're a little child or an adult. Amen. Whether you still at your parents' house or whether you done moved out of your parents' house, you must do this. It says, Exodus chapter 20, verse number 12, it says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. We have, right now, fathers and sons hating each other, ain't talked in years because of something that done happened in that son's childhood, or the parent done done something to the child, or the child done done something to the parent as an adult, and they ain't talked in years. We got mothers doing the same exact thing. But we need to come to the realization that we must show unconditional love in spite of, because this is why the families are being broke apart. And the devil would love to have division in the family. He denounces family. Anything that the Lord agrees with, the devil denounces it. So he denounces the union of the family. He would rather, look, let me show y'all something. And let me tell you, children, the children, whether you an adult, whether you a teenager, whether you are a little child, listen to me. And I'm not telling you something that I have not lived. And I mean this. You can hear the seriousness in my voice. I don't care if your mama or your daddy has not been there. I don't care if they were there. I don't care if they was a drug addict, an alcoholic, or whatever. Whatever you think that they were, whether they were there for you, whether they were not there for you, whatever it might have been. Honor your mother and your father. And I'm not telling you, like I said before, I'm not telling you something that I'm not real. And I'm gonna be transparent, I'm gonna be real right now. I had a time in my life, and this is a testimony now, and this might help somebody. Before my dad became a pastor, my dad is my pastor. And my mother is my co-pastor. Now, I say mother. Now, in my family, we don't say step. And I'm being real, and I'm not gonna let it all out, but I'm gonna give y'all a little bit of a testimony. My biological mother, you know, I didn't have a good relationship with my biological mother as a little child. My dad, me and my dad, you know, we close. We tight. Me and my biological mother, we did not have a good relationship, me growing up. And for a long time, because of the absence of my mother, I despised my mother, and I hated my mother, even me so-called walking with the Lord. But I had to come to grips with myself, and I'm saying this as a testimony. I could tell you to this day that the scars of what I went through as a child, I have scars. The wounds are healed. The scars are there to prove that I've been through there, that I've been through something. But I have forgiven my mother for everything that I went through as a child, for the times and the nights that I would ask my father, where's mama?
I forgiven her. And I honored her. And you know what? There were times it took something from me. Because sometimes when you say you're sorry or you say I forgive you, forgiveness is not just for individual. Sometimes forgiveness is for you to let go. Forgiveness is for you to be in the clear. Because sometimes when you do not forgive, you are harboring feelings and emotions that lead to other things and that open up doors that you do not want to open. And it can scar relationships. It can scar friendships. What you're doing, unforgiveness, and this is still underneath unconditional love, y'all. Unforgiveness can open up so many doors that you do not want open. It can harbor feelings and emotions that you do not want. It can it can put up barriers on friendships. It can put up barriers on relationships. It can hurt marriages. It can do that type of stuff. But we in the church, we don't like talking about that stuff no more. But I'm here to talk about it today. We must show unconditional love in spite of what we go through. Amen? And I didn't mean to go here. But we must love. We must love. Amen. We're getting close to time, y'all. But let's go to Proverbs real quick. Let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. 22 and 6. And we're going to read that real quick, and we're going to talk about it just for a minute. This passage reads, "Train up a child in the way they should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Now it says he. We know that he means a guy, but it also means she. If you have a little girl, train her up. Train her up in the admonition of the Lord. Amen. This is why we need to take our kids to church. And look, don't just take your kids to church and you don't go yourself. Well, I'm gonna send them off to children's church and I'm not gonna go today, but I'm gonna send them to church. The devil is a lie. Go to church with them. Be the example. You training them up. If you gonna send them to church but you don't go to church yourself, what? Something wrong with that picture. I'm sorry. Something wrong with that. Go to church with them. Learn with them so you can teach them how to be mighty in God. Look, I remember when me and my wife first got married. Now, I'll say this. My two oldest, and I'm going to say this and then we're going to move on. My two oldest are my stepsons. Like I said, I grew up in a house where we don't say step. But they're my boys. And the first time my oldest went to school, started school, my wife was, you know, getting into the habit of, you know, going to parent teacher conferences and all this stuff. And one day my oldest son, he told a lie on the teacher. And said that the teacher did this and the teacher did that. And she, you know, as a mother, she got upset. And she had never been through this before because, you know, this was her first time, her first child going to starting school and stuff like that. And I said, well, babe, calm down. First of all, get his side of the story and get the teacher's side of the story. This is the things that, see, this is why you should train up a child in the way they should go. This is why I said lead by example, because you know why? I watched my stepmother do that with us. She got our side of the story, and she got the teacher's side of the story. Now, a couple of times, it was the teacher's fault. A lot of times, it was our fault. A lot of times, it was me and my brothers and sisters' fault. Amen. Still did that just to make sure that the teacher wasn't in the wrong. And if my parents told us like this, if the teacher's in the wrong, we're going to get them. If y'all in the wrong, we're going to get y'all. And that's the same thing I do with my boys, because I was taught. That's why I said set the example. Set the example. I teach my boys. I say it on the show sometimes. I told my boys, there are four men in this house. Now, the littlest one, he can't do it yet, but he's starting to, y'all. Amen. Pray for him. I told my boys, there should never be a time where your mama has to take out the trash. There are four boys in this house. Four men in this house. There'll never be a time that your mama should have to take out the trash. With four men living in this house. Now, my oldest has taken it. If I'm not home, he'll take out the trash. With society, you might say, well, you know, there's people out there that, you know, you got people trying to do stuff to children and stuff. You let them take out the garbage by themselves. No, their mother accompanies them. And, you know, helps them if they need it. I understand that part. But I'm still putting inside of them the morals that they need to have. That's what training up a child in the way they should go. Amen. Now, let's go to Ephesians chapter, real quick. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter number 6, verse 4. And we are running... Amen. We still got some time, a little bit more time. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And if you have a pen and a piece of paper close by, write these scriptures down. Write these scriptures down and go back and study. Hey, look. I was always taught, you don't take, go back and study the scriptures yourself. So this is why we give you these scriptures, so you can go back and study yourself. Just don't take my word for it. Make sure it's there. I want you to. But you'll know that it's there. Amen. But I want you to know that it's there. Amen. It says, now this is where, now we read the scripture, you know, honor thy mother and thy father so thy days might be long upon the land, right? We just read that scripture. Amen. Now, there are some parents that will tell their child that and be like, you have to be seen and not heard, or do as I say and not as I do. What is that? That's not unconditional love. Are you do something to make that child lash out, and you be like, oh, boy, girl, don't you do that with me? I'll knock you out. You don't do that. You done something to provoke that child. Now, well, God said I'm the head of this house, and no, yes, God said you were the head, and yes, God told that child to honor you. But guess what? There's a balance in there, y'all. For you parents, for us, there's a balance in there for us. Let me show you. In Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 4, it says, and ye fathers, and I know it says fathers, but it also goes for mothers too. It says, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nature and in the admonition of the Lord. This is what we're talking about. This is unconditional love, y'all. We must show that unconditional love, y'all. We must show that unconditional love, the way to show it. We cannot provoke our children to wrath. And in provoking them to wrath, it's not just talking crazy to them. It ain't just... but showing them the wrong way. It's provoking them to wrath. Because if they see you doing it, they don't want to do it. If you telling them, don't smoke, but you're over there smoking, of course they're going to follow their parents. You're provoking them to wrath. That's provoke. You're provoking their conscience. They're wondering. They're wondering. Oh, well, Mama done told me not to do that, or Daddy done told me not to do that, but they're doing it. Why should I follow their lead? It makes them want to think. If I tell my boys not to jump over our fence, but they see me jumping over it every day to go to work, why should I tell them not to jump over the fence if I'm jumping over it every day to go out there to the car to go to work? That's crazy. Of course they're going to do what I do. Amen. Let's go to another scripture talking about storge love. And we're wrapping up here, y'all, because we're going to get to Philly love real quick. But in 1 Timothy chapter number 5, verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter number 5, verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 reads, "But if any provide not for his own, provide for those of his own house, he is denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. For husbands, for fathers, these are for fathers and mothers that are not providing for their children or their families. You married, and you ain't, and as me being a husband, if I'm not providing for my family, I'm worse than an infidel. The Bible says I have denied the faith, and I'm worse than an infidel. If you a father and you ain't providing for your children, you are held accountable. That goes to any father, any mother that does not provide for their children. You are worse than an infidel, and you have denied the faith. This is when you provide for them, and this is not just providing them clothes and money. This is providing them guidance, all of that stuff. You're not there for them. I was watching the episode of The Fresh Prince, and during one of those episodes, Will's father came back in his life, and one day they were supposed to go somewhere, and Will's father said, well, we can't take our trip now. And Will got upset, and Will started crying to Uncle Phil, and Uncle Phil told his father, Will's not supposed to be there for you. You're supposed to be there for him. And this is what a father's supposed to do. The children and families are not a coat that you can just take off and pick up whenever you want to. That does not sign under unconditional love. Amen. This is not sign under unconditional love. Amen. Now we're gonna move to friendship love, and we're going to do this real quick because we only got a couple more minutes of the show. So we're going to do this real quick. We're going to go to one scripture. I have three, but I'm only going to do one for Philly love, and this is a friendship-type love. And we're going to go to the book of Proverbs, and I'll give you the other two scriptures. I'm going to give you the other two scriptures so you can go back and read those, but we're only going to read one scripture. On Philly love, and that scripture is found in Proverbs chapter number 18, verse 24, and this reads, "A man that has friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that." There is a, wait a minute, hold on, wait a minute, y'all. A man that has friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. This is what friendship type love is. Amen. This is what friendship type love is. And in a friendship type love, you're going to make sure that your friend is together. You're going to make sure that your friend, this is unconditional love for your friend. You're going to make sure that your friend is well taken care of. You're going to make sure that your friend is held responsible for the responsibility, for his or her responsibility. Amen. And like I said, I was just going to name off the other two scriptures. The other two scriptures that's found underneath Philly love, which is a friendship type of love, is Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, and Proverbs 17, verse 17. So you can go back and read those in Jesus' name. Now, we have a whole lot of scriptures to show love is centered. I said it at the start of this, I said that we're going to center that. What does unconditional love center around? And it all centers around Jesus Christ. Amen. It all centers around Jesus Christ. We read one of those scriptures at the beginning, 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. Amen. And we all know those scriptures. We all know the scriptures of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. There is life in love. He is love, and it all centers around him. All of these types of love center around him. All of these types of love, all of these unconditional type of love, it's all unconditional. It's all unconditional love, y'all. And if you don't have unconditional love, then you can't live. We can't live without Jesus. We can't live without him. The Bible says we live and we move and we have our very being in him. Can't live without love. Love was in the beginning. Love was created. Love was our creation was made from love. We were created in love. So we can't live without love today. This love is unconditional. It's unconditional love, y'all. Amen. If you want to know more about the love being centered around Jesus, you can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 14. We also know John 3:16. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. John, Colossians 3 and 14. Amen. Now, at the end of this, and I know we're coming down to the end because we got a minute. I want to say, because I'm done now, y'all, but I want to say this. Out of all of that, he showed the most unconditional type of love when he died for our sins. And it gave us right to the tree of life. And when he gave us right to the tree of life, he gave us right to be saved. Acts 2 and 38 says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you want to make it to heaven, if you want to have unconditional love, true unconditional love, then you must be born again. You might say, well, I have him. You got to be born again. John chapter 3, verse 5. You must be born again of the water and the Spirit. Got to be born again. Like as Acts 2 and 38 says. Amen. God bless you. I love each and every one of you on today. Again, continue to wear your mask. Continue to be safe. Just continue to do what the CDC says. And be blessed on this week coming up. I love each and every one of you. God bless you. I love you. And until next Saturday, if I don't see you again or if you don't hear me again, I will see you in the marvelous, marvelous rapture of the church. And I will see you when, in that great getting up morning in Jesus' name. And we will celebrate together on the streets of gold in Jesus' name. God bless you.